Yeah, so it's awesome, guys, that we can worship Jesus together. Eh? Oh, we should never get tired of that. You know, often when worship is a boring thing, it's often because we just have less of Him in that moment in our lives. That's why worship is a response. And if we struggle to respond, it's because we're struggling to see. And often we need to speak to ourselves to say that, body, I don't care what you feel. There's been a water explosion here in front. So please be careful, guys. But often we don't care about our feelings because we respond to Him being holy, not to how we feel. Amen. So, guys, I prepped a sermon. I prepped a sermon last year at the end of the year. And then we had a worship time, and then it just went into ministry time, and I never shared it, but I really felt this in my heart to speak about community and what that looks like. Community for Annelien and myself and for where we're from is a very, very, very important part of church. Okay. It's something that stirred our faith. It was always something that we were excited about. And it's something that's really strong, I believe, on the Lord's heart. And today I just want to speak about community and explain a bit more what does the Bible say about that. If I say community, I just want to explain, I'm talking about cell groups or Bible study groups. So that is, if I say community group, I mean that. Okay, it's a group that will come together during the week to often spend time in the Word, to pray for one another, and that we call community groups. Okay, so last year we spoke about church membership, which was quite a daunting thing for a lot of people because church membership feels a bit like, why do you want to control us and why do you want to do this? A lot of guys feel a bit like it's a bit shaky ground, but it's actually biblical to belong. And I want to read the scripture to you quickly, Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Amen. Thank you, guys. That's it. That's not actually the point. This is my point. Their work is to watch over your souls, and this is the scary part, and they are accountable to God. So when I die, I will stand before Jesus and give an account to each and every person in this congregation. That's scary. We take that very seriously. Warren will do the same. Warren is the elder in the church. Pete is an elder in the church. We'll stand before Jesus for each and every soul. We're accountable to God. The one you can't hide anything from. So for that reason, it's really, really difficult to shepherd people well if we're not sure if they belong, if they want to belong. So that's why we spoke about membership and just the health and the godly way of it, that God designed belonging in church. Okay, I'm not going to talk about much about that now. But part of that is community groups. And if we don't understand community groups well and why we do that, what's the reference in the Bible, then we will also struggle to understand membership well. Okay, so Annelien and myself, we led community for many years, many, many years. We had community groups, we've grown and then we multiplied. We just don't use the word split because there's too many church splits in this world. Okay, so we multiplied, we became more, we became two groups. We led many. We've had very, very, very good times in community leading. We had very, very, very bad times in leading community. Okay. We had many salvations, many people coming to the Lord in our community, in the communities over the years. We had many people leaving the community because of offense. We had divorces in our communities. We had marriages in our communities. We had people coming to Jesus in our communities. we had people falling away from Jesus in our community. It's been a very roller coaster ride, but man, it's rewarding to see people find Jesus. There was a time, if I say divorces, it was a lady who was 100% convinced because they got married when they were unsaved, they have an unbiblical marriage. And she was so deceived that even after many and many sessions, she eventually got a lawyer's letter against us as the church leaders to leave her alone because we were fighting for her heart. Remember, Jesus leaves the 99 to follow the one, eh? To go and find the one. And we fought for her. And man, we loved her and pushed. And unfortunately, she divorced her husband. And that was a very sad thing in our community. Okay. It's not like we had 7 divorces in our community. Then you guys will start doubting. Okay. So, there was a time when in Sunningdale, Bloberg Strand, where we were at, our church grew to almost 500. And then we had to multiply the church because it's not really effective to lead, to have a church of 500 people. It's not a numbers game, it's a discipleship game. Okay, so you can't effectively look after 500 people in a church. It's easy to hide in the benches then. So we multiplied and we started an 8:30 congregation and then an 11 o'clock congregation. We became part of the 11 o'clock congregation. Then our community came with us, but we multiplied our community as well. So half of our community went with the 8:30 guys. And then the other half came with us. In that year, we grew to 59 adults in our community. So 59 people in our house, adults. It's without the kids. It was crazy. It was chaotic. The reason why we didn't multiply the community is because we just multiplied the church. So, sorry, no one, everyone's safe. We just multiplied the church. So it would have been very, very shaky for the guys to multiply community again. You understand? That's the only reason why. It's not really effective to lead. It's impossible for a couple to do that. It's not really practical. But we had 59 guys in our community. And man, there was life. There was so much life. And the ideal thing in a community is, if we look at the very practical side of a community group, it should actually not be more than 12 guys. Because it's easy to start hiding in a community group. It's very easy. When the group grows in your house, it's very easy to just become complacent and just allow the guys who's usually stepping out to do what they do. And that is why it's better to have smaller groups. Now, we have, at the moment, 3 community groups in our church. Okay? Warren and Tracy's leading the one. Simon Catherine's leading the other one. Mark and Taryn's leading the other one. But even those communities are growing to an extent where we have to look at multiplying. But for the same reason, we did not multiply so quickly when we were in Sunningdale. We have not done it here yet. Because everything that's happening here is brand new to the people. So we don't want to rock the boats too much. Although last year was quite a rocky. God moved and there was many moving parts. And Jesus help us. Grateful that he's building his church. So eventually we will start looking at multiplying Warren's community. Mark and Taryn's community, to multiply that. Simon and Catherine. The groups are growing. And for us to effectively look after each and every individual in the church, it shouldn't be too big. It's very difficult. Remember, Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created the universe. He only chose 12 disciples to disciple on the earth. Okay. I'm not using the number 12 now for the community because there's a spiritual connection. I just found that 12 is easier to lead in a community. Okay. And then also a fun thing this year, I'm really trusting the Lord has laid Domotombo on my heart quite a lot, the last while. And I'm trusting that we will plant a community in Domotombo this year. Maybe a few, I don't know, but I'm not rushing. And the heart is with communities. The fun thing about community groups is we'll start serving on Sunday mornings as well. So each Sunday morning, a community group will start serving. And you guys will be a part of the coffee and tea setup. And part of assisting with the kids. Yay! It's always when we mention that one. Come on, guys. We need kids workers. Seriously. And then the sitting down afterwards, doing the stewardship teachings, opening the services. Remember, the elders can't do all of this all the time, eh? The idea is not for us to do this thing all the time. It's for us to raise up guys to do it. Amen? But before we get into all the practical things of community, I want us to look at the book of Acts. Where did it start? What is the origin of communities? Okay. And if we look at Acts, the people came together, and this happened, Acts 2 verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This happened first. Jesus left, sent the Holy Spirit, poured out on his people, which is amazing. Come on. Okay, this should be a desire for us all to be continuously filled by him. Amen? So then there was unity among the saints because God poured out his Spirit. People surrendered to Jesus, and the fruit of that community started. It wasn't a man's idea. Community groups in a church was never man's idea. It happened because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So when we say we have community groups in church, it's not our idea. It is something that should happen when we are filled with the Spirit. It is something that actually should happen naturally. We just made it systematic. We made it as we have to do it to tick a box, to tick a certain box, to almost feel that we're doing the right thing. Now, Acts 2 verse 42 says, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and then people just got together. They just wanted to be together because they had one thing in common, Jesus and his church. Amen? So they devoted themselves to the teachings, to the early apostles, the guys who wrote the New Testament. They devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to what the Lord was saying to the church in that time. So when the guys spoke, they gave themselves completely to that. Then they devoted themselves to fellowship, to being together, to doing life together. Not coming to church on a Sunday and have a surface level connection. Like doing life together. Guys, if you want to have a difference with someone, do life together. Okay? This week was the first time in 3 months that we did not host someone in our house. Can I tell you what happens when someone comes into our house? Woo! Often the first 2 weeks is romance. The first 2 weeks is the honeymoon phase. Then the true nature starts coming out. Okay? It's lovely. It's amazing, guys. We love it. Okay? Then there's manifestation starts happening. People start acting in the flesh like they usually do when they're not in front of us. And then we're like, hey, do you know that's not cool? And then it's like, no, it's cool. And then you start having family. Because then you start mingling. Then you start building into each other's lives. Then you start loving one another. That's church. Church is not coming to a Sunday and feeling justified that we tick the right box. Okay. It's part of it, but that's not the ultimate thing. So they devoted themselves to breaking bread. Braai. You felt the authority when I said that, eh? Braai. Okay. You know, it's funny, we laugh now, But most of the times ever in my life when guys repented and shared their hearts was not in a church setup, was not in a community group even. It was when we stood around the fire. Most of the guys would share their hearts. There's something about the fire. It's biblical, guys. I'm telling you. There's something. Jesus created it. Okay. And then also they devoted themselves to prayer. They pray together. So my question is, and I felt conviction when I asked this question to myself, how often do we pray before we leave after a care, after a visit? How often do we make it about Jesus? I'm guilty of that. Okay. So they shared in life because they had the conviction. There was such a unity. So Acts 2:44. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Now, they didn't share everything they had because the guy leading the church, they decided, okay, guys, what we're going to do this week, because we're praying and fasting, just make a list of all your belongings. What's happened to me? We'll get prices for it, guys. Okay? We'll sell it. Don't worry. We'll do all of that. And then we'll just disperse all the money between one another. That wasn't the case. Okay. They were filled with the presence of God, with His very Spirit. Because of that, they met together in one place and they shared everything they had. So if someone comes now and say, guys, we need to do this now and we are not filled with the Spirit, it's a systematic thing. It's a thing man is placing there. Do you understand? This did not happen because of man's good ideas. This happened because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:32 says, all believers, Anopa, you are amazing and very fast. All believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. You see, this was outworking of them being filled with the Spirit. So they shared everything they had. So it changed from what's mine became ours because of the Holy Spirit. So now we're talking about the community in the early church. This is the church we are modeling today, or trying to model. The biblical church. So no pressure, guys. Okay. Then Acts 2:45. Do not worry, guys. I'm not going to tell you guys to sell anything. Okay, I'm trying to explain to you where community is coming from. Okay. Acts 2:45 says, they sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. So you have to understand that there was a feast in Jerusalem in that time. It's not like everyone went there because they knew the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. Okay. So a lot of the guys went to this feast, and then at that feast, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And at that, in the one day, over 3,000 people got saved. So all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people there that came, that traveled from all over the continent to come to this feast. And now they want to stay there because they're filled with the Spirit. They don't want to move away. So there was need. Okay. There was a massive need. So the guys started selling their possessions out of the conviction that, guys, we have to keep this thing that God is doing here. So I have many friends who have done this, actually. They sold their possessions out of conviction. But this isn't something that I'm preaching today. The heart is not we're selling everything, guys. I'm trying to explain to you where community was birthed and what that looked like in the early church. Okay? We get that, eh? This is not the prosperity sermon. Thank you. So love in that time, when they loved one another, was very practical. It was very practical because they physically did things. It wasn't a thing of Munya coming to me, telling me that he's struggling, and I said, my brother, I'll pray for you. Jesus, help him. Thank you, Munya. Bless you. Bye-bye. It's not that. Munya struggled. She was like, guys, one of our family members, they're struggling. What are we going to do? It was very practical. So when someone needed help there, everyone jumped in. They jumped in. And we've seen this. We've seen this in church. We've seen this with our lives. When I lost my business after COVID, we seriously belonged on the streets. Guys, I had nothing in my bank. Like, lost everything. So when someone tells me they're struggling, they have nothing, I know what you're talking about. Okay, we had nada. Nix. There was zero. Instead, it was actually in the minus. I owed the bank money because I couldn't pay bank fees. Huh? We never had lack. We never had lack because our community jumped in. They were like, you guys are not going to lack everything. Man, it was a humble ride, I'm telling you now. It was very, very humbling. Very humbling. Okay, because I should provide for my family, but I can't. So now other men's doing it. The Lord dealt with my pride left, right, and center in my hat. It was not easy, not easy at all. But there was just such a sense of there's someone suffering in our community. We led the community, guys. But someone suffered, so everyone just jumped in. Boom. The church jumped in. They helped us. There was not one day that we did not eat. But there was many days without having everything. Does that make sense? So the Lord taught us something about family there. And surrendering and accountability and the beauty of that. You know, when someone moved houses in a community, in our community, the people moving will barely lift anything. When someone moved houses, everyone's there. Eh? There's too many people. It's like you get upset not because no one's coming to help. You get upset because there's too many people and you're trying to carry a piano. So get out of my way, guys. Everyone just jumped in. The one move we did, I carried one box. I literally carried one box. Then as we moved, the elders phoned us because they wanted to see us. And we were like, we can't because we're moving. And they were like, no, you can. There's more than enough people helping you. So we literally went to the meeting. From the meeting, we went to the new house and they already packed out everything. You know what that feels like? It's like, I don't want the plates there, guys. I want it there. But there was this sense of belonging, the sense of family, being together. And my brother, because you're not going to sweat alone. We're going to do this thing together. And it takes a long time, unless the Holy Spirit convicts, for us to walk in that place. It takes a long time. Because often people will think, now this is a systematic, this is a man-made thing that we're trying to implement. No, we're trying to reflect the New Testament church. That is why community is so important. The sense of belonging. Even in that, now Amy started the Love to Share, which we are so grateful for. And how this worked in Cape Town. And it's not a Cape Town thing, it's not a Josh Jen thing, it's not a 412 thing, it is actually what we saw in the Bible. So what I'm saying, when I reference that, it's just because we were there, okay, and we saw the life of it. I'm not referencing church above the Bible. Okay, so accountability is very, very important. Accountability is extremely important in church. So what happened if someone had lack in our community? We almost never went to the elders. We would only inform them of what happened. Because there was such a unity within our community group, the needs were being looked after. So if there was a lack in our community, all the guys would get together and say, guys, Pete has a struggle with this and this and this, or he's sitting without work, we need to make a plan. Everyone just jumped in to make a plan. They just jumped in to make a plan. Then Pete got a job. And then on Sunday, we will say to the elder, hey, we have a testimony. Can we share the testimony? Hey, Pete. And then the elder said, he's like, we didn't even know about this. But there was such a sense of community, the elders could focus on what they need to focus on. Praying, seeking the Lord, seeking direction. But then within that, there was this sense of accountability. Because if you're not, this is the difficult thing. Often we do get requests because there's a lot of need. That's reality. The poor will always be among us, the Bible says. Jesus said it. Okay. So the reality is we do have a lot of need. But now, often what happens is when we are in need, I'm talking out of first-hand experience, you just need a bailout. Okay. So you need someone just to get you quickly out of the situation. Because the only thing that you're seeing is your situation. So the only thing that you're seeing is, but I only need $100, then my life will be sorted. That is the reality. I know what that feels like when you get stuck in a corner and you need to quickly get a way out. But the problem with that is the $100 will not sort out your problems. Discipleship will. Because why are you in that situation? So if we are not in a community group and belonging to people that can hold us accountable with our life, we're not really going to effectively help people. Because we're just going to continuously bail people out of their situations. But we want to help. We will not let anyone go hungry. We want to help, but we want to do it effectively. We don't just want to help you with your wallet. We want to help you with your mind in order so that you can work towards a place of saving, so that you can live, so that you can be effective in God's kingdom and not sit here on a Sunday and worry about Monday tomorrow. That's possible. I'm an outworking of that. I had nothing, but I do have now. That's why I give generously, because the Lord has taught us how to do that. But someone had to sit with us and say, Anton, the reason why you're not getting through with your month is because you have no clue how to work with your money. And it's like, no, it's not true. And then from there, I'll go to KFC, buy us KFC, and then think the problem is solved because we're all happy in the moment. But someone had to sit us down and said, hey, you need to stop spending your money if you don't have money to spend. You know how often I would look through people's budgets and then what would actually happen is you'll see the reality of their budget and then you see a wish list. The wish list is the budget they sent me. The reality is the actual income that they sent me. So the wish list is often more than your budget. It's often more because now your budget, that's why I call it the wish list. It's not a budget. Your budget is you only have so money in the month. How do you get through the month? If your budget is more than your income, where do you get the other money from? Because you just sent me your budget. Then you sit through with someone and you teach them how to work with money. How to realistically look at life. And because sometimes we need a wake-up call, especially with finances. We need someone to help us through it. Because you'll think that you're getting through, but you're not because you don't see what's in front of you. You just see the mess. So then you go to someone who's good with their finances. You sit down, you look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, no, it doesn't make sense at all. I understand why you're suffering. This is unwise. But let's make it right. And then that is accountability. You know, very few choose to go that route. But everyone wants to be helped. You know how scary that is? So it's easier when it's in a community like in the New Testament church. Because everyone was so accountable towards everyone that no one had lack among them. The Bible said, no one had lack among them. Now, some might say, let the rich then sell everything they have so that we can disperse it. I'm telling you, they had no lack among them because they had the right understanding. Their wallets wasn't full. That's the right understanding. We can only do that through accountability. We need to change our mindset when it comes to that. Now, it's very difficult for me as an elder who leads the church to meet up with each and every person. I would love to meet with each and every person in this congregation. I would love to do that. It's my heart. You can ask everyone that knows me. I love you guys. I would love to sit with each and every person, but practically, I can only go so far. But what I can do is, I can train the guys. I can train the community leaders. I can train the guys around me to train those people, to make sure that we're looking after one another. We can only effectively do that when we belong to a community. When we give ourselves to something that God has designed. James talks about faith without works is dead. It's a practical outworking of our faith that we need to do that's biblical. So Acts 2 verse 46 says, they worship together at the temple each day, and then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity because of the joy of praying. Listen to this. They meet, they worship together at the temple each day. So we have decided as elders to have a service from now on every day of the week. No, that's not the truth, okay? But that was their devotion. Do you guys see the devotion of the early church? This is the church we're reflecting, guys. We want to reflect this church. We want to do it, but we can't do it practically every day. But they also met in their homes. That we can do effectively. We can do that. We can meet in each other's homes and build relationships. Acts 2, 46 to 47 says, they worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with a great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. Okay. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Why? Because they felt that they were belonging. You know, the Muslims is the fastest, biggest growing group in the world. They are the biggest religion in this world. You know why? They feel they belong. They feel they belong. You know, Christians, often how cold we are with that. I wanna give some practical points of what community should look like, or ideas. I can't give you scriptures for everything. This is something that we practiced. So just to give an idea, while I'm sharing this, I call the community leaders now, or Warren and the guys, and I said, guys, when I share these things, I'm not saying that you're doing something wrong. Okay, but I need to share with you something so in order for us to understand community right. Okay, because often we think community is just a Bible study. It is not. It is not just that. Community is not a religious activity. It is not something that we do once in the week to tick a box. Okay. Community is doing life together. It's doing life together. You know, our community in Sunningdale, we sat in the right-hand side. So if someone preached, we sat in the block here on the right. That was the naughty corner. Okay. We had to tape our guys all the time because they were so full of life. So we had to say, okay, guys, Paul speaks about ordering the house. Okay. But man, when there was ever something that the communities need to get involved in, we won everything. We were like full on. It's not a competition, but we are the best. Okay. When we had community things, we were there, and man, we went full out. Eh? Everyone just jumped in. And we were actually, it was a bit unfair because we were a third of the church. Okay, so we did, there was just this life. And whenever there was a visitor, you know how little times I had to jump up and to go and greet him. Because what we started doing is, we tried not to lose people. So when there's a visitor, the guys in our community would run towards them and just pull them in. That's why it grew so fast. Hey, we see you visiting. Welcome, guys. Welcome. What are you guys doing on Wednesday night? We're having a community. We would love you guys to come. Please come. Give me your number. That's exactly. But man, they forced themselves on those poor people. They had no way that they could get out of it. and our community grew. They immediately felt like, hey, I want to be here. I want to be with this. They're weird, very weird, but I want to be there. And there was this immediate effect of pulling people into community. Immediate, like, we don't want anyone to get lost. Eventually, the elder said, Anton, give the other guys an opportunity as well to grow their communities. And I said to them, guys, it's not me, it's the community itself doing it. Speak to them, elders. You know? Yeah, I made a joke, guys. It's like, but there is that thing of they experience life in such a way that they wanted others to experience that as well. So they were hungry to pull people into that sense of belonging. Not just the Bible study on a Wednesday. You know, to be honest with you guys, we did very little Bible studies. But we shared life together. We would often have bring and shares, meals. So some of the communities do eat together every Wednesday. But then I'm talking about that's the only thing we do. We eat and we laugh and we play games and we talk nonsense and we build life together. We find out what's happening in your life. Because often we'll have a Bible study, people will go home, but you will have no clue what's happening in that person's life. And that was the main priority for us. What's happening in your life, guys? The eldership is a small community group. You know how often we'll only talk about our lives than church. We build into each other's lives. We do that. Why? Because I want them to see the mess in my house. I want them to see it when I miss it. This week I shared something with the eldership teams, where I struggled in my heart with something and I had to bring that out. I had to share with them, guys, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. Help us. We need help. It wasn't an eldership meeting. We fellowship together. So our communities can often be bringing shares, eating together. In Cape Town, we had a lot of testimony nights. We actually had someone that would dot down every prayer request. At the end of the year, we'll often read through the prayer request, and most of them will be answered. Most of them. Like, literally most of them, eh, Bokki? Then we had prayer and worship nights, where we just got together and we learned how to press in with prayer and worship. Not just a 10-minute thing. But there we practiced it. We were like, guys, we want to get into this thing. We want to get into this thing of praying. Be prayer warriors. So let's practice it. Tonight, we're just going to pray. Oh, man, it was awkward. It was awkward. But we did it. And the testimonies from those nights, I'm telling you, setting time aside for that. Exercising spiritual gifts. You know how difficult it is to exercise your spiritual gift on a service on a Sunday. If you have never ever stepped out in the prophetic and the Lord is speaking to you on a Sunday, I'm telling you the chances of you coming to the front and sharing a prophetic word with the church. There might be a possibility, but it's luck. You understand? Communities is a place where we can all exercise our gifts. It's a place where I feel I'm called for the prophetic. So can we exercise it? If I feel something, guys, I'm going to share it with you. If I'm out of line, I'd rather learn here than in church on a Sunday before in front of everyone. Some guys feel called to pray. They feel called to pray. Exercise that on a Wednesday or a Monday, whenever you guys meet. It's very practical, but it's amazing. And then we had a lot of fun nights. A lot of fun nights, games. If you want to see someone manifest, play a board game with him. If you want to see the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to squeeze a narchi and you're expecting narchi juice to come out, play a board game. You will see husband standing up against wife, wife standing up against husband. Those who you thought were friends hate each other. And you will, and the competitiveness, I'm telling you guys, you think my wife is not competitive. Play a board game with my wife. You will lose. She will take you down. She will push you under. She will walk over you to win that board game. Let's do it now. Let's do it. Bring it. But there's a thing of we got together and we just were human beings. loving one another. It wasn't the supernatural, super spiritual meeting. There's definitely space for that. There were so many deliverances in our community. We had demonic manifestations in our community on Wednesday nights. The times of worship, I'll never forget it. There was this young man, his name is Ethan. He was built like a mountain. He just muscles everywhere. He was so theological with everything. Man, his word, his knowledge with the word, when he walks towards me, I'm looking for a way out. Because he will corner me with a word and then I have nothing to say. I can't get out of it because his knowledge of the Bible so solid. But man, his love was nothing. There was nothing with love. There was absolutely no love. Because if you talk about love, he has no clue what you're talking about. And it was because of the way he was raised. And the type of personality is made difficult because he was just cold and quite sharp. I'll never forget it. We sat one night and we said, guys, let's just worship Jesus. Took the guitar out and we started singing. We just sang. We didn't feel anything supernatural. All of a sudden, this guy breaks. Like, he weeps. He breaks. He falls onto the ground and just weeps and weeps and weeps. And we keep on worshiping. It's awkward. Sit there with the guitar. You think like, Jesus, what do we do now? You know that moment when something spiritual happened and everyone acts like it's normal, but inside you're freaking out? It was one of those moments, okay? And then we went to him and it's like, Blue, are you okay? Are you okay? Jesus, we love you. Ethan, are you okay? Lord, you're worthy of it all. Guys, you're worthy of it all. Peter. From you, Peter. All offerings. And to you, that's okay, sweeping. I have no clue what to do. Jesus, Jesus. That's how it feels. That's how it felt for me in that moment. So this oak was showered with the Lord's love. He never in his life experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit with all the knowledge of the word he had. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. All of a sudden, the things he read in the Bible came to life and he realized that it's for him. Jesus wrote it to him. It didn't come in an amazing sermon, guys. It was a messy worship time in our living room. A man broke. Life changed completely. Completely, completely changed from a cold tombstone to a heart of flesh in love with Jesus. It did not happen through a very theological session in our living room. We need to learn to love people. We can only do that when we get to know them. We can only do that when we do one-on-one growing in Jesus together. We do that through communities. We do that through community groups. Yes, we can experience great measure of that on a Sunday. But man, we need to get into each other's gunk. We need to see the ugly side of each other's lives. We need to do that. And just to give an example, James 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins only to yourself and the Lord. No, it does not say that. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know how difficult it is to confess your sins to someone that you don't know, someone that you do not trust, especially if you have church hurt. Oh, that's not going to happen. Believe me, I've been there. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous has great power and produces wonderful results. So it's saying this, you know how many issues there was in the early church. It was not a perfect church. It was messy. It was all over the place. No one had a cooking clue what to do. They just listened to the Holy Spirit and did it. There wasn't a start the service this time. We pray half an hour before. It's lekker. Afterwards, we drink coffee. Oh, okay. It was all over the show. It was messy. That's why Paul wrote and said there need to be some form of order, guys, when you get together. Because it's all over the show. So, early church. This is New Testament. Acts of in the book of Acts 5, people died in the church, Ananias and Sapphira. This was, by the way, after they sold their possessions and wanted to give a massive amount because the property that they sold was in a very, very wealthy area in that town. Okay, so they brought the money. They weren't unfaithful to give. They just lied about the number of the money. They just lied. Small lie, guys. They died. Guys, we just planted a church. We already lost two people to death. Okay. Then there was a massive, massive disagreement because you had two different groups of Jews. You had the Hebrew-speaking Jews and the Greek-speaking Jews. And man, there was a clash. It was like, I'm not going to say racist now because it will be awkward. But there was a massive clash. That's the reality. Because now they felt that the Hebrew-speaking Jews got favor when the elders handed them stuff, food and things. It went to such an extent where the elders said, we can't do this anymore, guys. We can't do this anymore. I'm tired. And deacons were born. The Lord made deacons. He put deacons in his church. He said, oh, please deal with this. I just want to go pray and see Jesus. Okay. There were so many. I'm not even going to read all of them. But the issues in the early church was a lot. The difference is they resolved it in the presence of Jesus. They resolved it in the presence of Jesus. I think last year was a very good example that we can resolve issues in the presence of Jesus. We can fight for unity. Amen? So Jesus says, this is how the whole world will know that you are my disciples, is if you love one another, not just attending a church on a Sunday. So, just to sum it up, community needs to be filled with the Spirit. Because it was originated because of people being filled with the Spirit. It needs to be devoted to prayer, truth, good biblical teachings, and prayer. It needs to be relational. It needs to be relational. It needs to be relational. Okay? It's a place where we are generous, where we have compassion for one another. It's a place where we present our lives to one another. It's a place of joy. It's a place of intentional discipleship. Say that. Intentional discipleship. Say that. Intentional discipleship. Okay. And it's a place where we handle conflict with love. So I want to encourage you guys here today. If you are not yet part of a community, grab Mark, Simon, Warren, and do not let them go until they tell you where they stay. Fight, wrestle, until your hip gets locked out. You wrestle them. Don't wrestle them, guys. Okay, but I want to encourage you guys to pray into this and to see that this is a biblical thing, living in each other's lives, being a part of each other's lives, following what the Lord is doing. Often, elders would give direction, often because that's why the Lord put us here. We're shepherds. We walk and the sheep follow. Often the sheep will go that way, and then you'll have to leave these guys here, and you have to run after that one there in the valley. You take them out of the sluit. Yes. And then just as you pick them up, they jump back in. And then you have to pick them up again, and then they jump back in. And then you pick them up, put the leash around their neck, and I'm joking. Sometimes I feel we want to do that, so that they just follow Jesus. But that's the reality. So we just want to hear the Lord and follow Him well. Okay, we want to follow Jesus well. And often the elders will give direction that we can process through a community night. Because we can't always do questions and answers here. Because we might have visitors and it might become quite uncomfortable. Amen? Yeah, you see the visitors there. He's like, please don't share more. Okay. So guys, I really want to encourage you guys. That is a very, very drop in the bucket about communities in church and what it looked like in the early church. I hope it made sense. But I want to encourage you guys to pray for the conviction to belong. Pray for the conviction to. If you're suffering, if you're going through a bad time, I'm telling you it can be much easier when you belong to a community. Much easier when we belong to a community. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, just for this amazing opportunity. Father, that we can just reflect on the early church, Lord, and try to follow the ways that you have put in place. Jesus, you said that upon the revelation of Peter, you will build your church. And that is the revelation of who you are, Jesus. And after many have received that revelation through the infilling of your Spirit, you started your church, you planted your church. The first sermon was preached about Jesus. From that place, Lord, communities formed, life formed within the church. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us in ways that we will find the right way. Lord, that we will follow the structure given through the Bible. That we will not follow our own ideas, Lord, but that everything we do, that we can support that with your word. So I pray for your conviction, Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will reveal to us a greater measure of community, that you will reveal your heart. Lord, I want to pray that you will daily just be filled afresh with who you are, Lord, in order for us to naturally respond to the things of the Spirit. Lord, I want to pray for us in this week as we set time aside with fasting. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us, Lord. I pray that we'll find our joy, our nourishment, everything in you, Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal the Son to us, Lord, that we'll see you in a greater measure as we set this week aside. Thank you, God, that you are building your church, that you are moving mightily amongst us, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome, guys. Thank you very much.